Our reading today is from John 5:31 to 47. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father has given me to complete, the very works that I am doing, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you, because you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the one who alone is God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? Lent is a time when we reflect on our need for change and conversion, and we try to meet this need in some way. But real change is not easy, as both this gospel reading for today and the Old Testament passage from Exodus point out. Let's just have a little look at the passage from the Old Testament. The Exodus reading portrays the people of Israel as a whole succumbing to the worship of the golden calf. It's a famous story. And it is a critical moment for Israel because their infidelity follows so close on their deliverance from Egyptian oppression and the gift of the covenant with God. How could such a privileged people fail so soon and so completely? In the text, God provides the answer. They are stiff-necked, he says, locked in a certain view of things, and unable and unwilling to turn around the conversion theme and to see things differently. They think they see freely and truly, but in effect they have trapped themselves. The dramatic encounter between God and Moses that we read in our passage is a storytelling way of presenting two key responses to this critical situation. One is that human beings are unable to change of their own accord, and so God is the one who changes, who must take the initiative. And so God does in this story. God changes his mind. And the same theology is present in the famous flood story. The other point is that the portrayal of Moses as a successful intercessor on Israel's behalf enhances his unique relationship with God and the authority of the Mosaic Torah that he bequeathed to Israel. In a sense, we could say that for the sake of one loyal disciple, God will save the multitude. In his debate with his Jewish adversaries, Jesus lists the evidence that reveals that they, like Israel, are unable and unwilling to change, to reconsider, to see things differently. They reject three impeccable witnesses to Jesus. The first is the witness of John the Baptist. The second is the witness or testimony of the works that Jesus does. And for anyone who can see, they are clearly the works of God. And the third is the witness of the Father, the most reliable and true witness of all. But instead of hearkening to these witnesses, Jesus' adversaries study the scriptures. But, as Jesus points out, their kind of study provides no illumination, no real vision. And the reason he gives is, I think, a key text in this passage. And it parallels God's assessment of Israel in the Exodus passage. Jesus says, "I know that you do not have the love of God in you." It's a tough assessment, but their situation has, according to this gospel, to be spelt out clearly for them. Otherwise, Jesus' adversaries will remain trapped in their stubborn, warped view of him and of the scriptures. Without God's initiative, without the love of God in you, no amount of study of the scriptures will change a person. Such is the claim of this passage. But notice, the love of God is not forced upon us. In order for it to be poured into our hearts, we need to acknowledge our need for it. If we don't, then God won't force himself upon us. After all, this would run counter to the whole notion of God in the Bible. But we will remain trapped in our view of the world and our view of ourselves, a warped view that we have created. So can we say that both readings challenge us in this season of Lent to reflect on those areas where we need conversion most, and to note that they are likely to be those areas in which we are most resistant to change.